Santi, if I want you to think about what I'm about to tell you, and if that's important in your business, then you're going to want to rise up, and you're going to want to bring him up here with some pretty great applause. So, Santiago, how many of you have ever taught your team something personally? As the owner of the business, you're like, dude, gather around, I have some words of wisdom to impart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of us. But when you bring somebody else into your team to teach them, there's an added layer and level of accountability, an added layer of authority that you get. But when you do one thing further, you invite somebody that has a heart the size of Texas, who truly cares about what's going to happen in your business, you end up making marks that people just don't forget. I get asked all the time, when do we get to be with Santi again? All the time. So whether it's DISC, EOS, anything related to leadership, this young man and incredible daddy, let me just say that, which is super attractive to a lot of people. If you have not had him at your business, you just need to get your calendar out right now and schedule it, because he will make a phenomenal difference in your company. So rise up, inner circle, and let's bring up Santiago.
Okay, so before we get started, anybody like giving away stuff?
Yeah.
Or even better, giving away stuff that's not yours? So normally Howard gives away stuff to the people that are young and that are in the audience. And first off, we got Shane in the house. How old is Shane? 5 years old. What is the youngest person we've ever had at a conference, Howard?
Well, we had babies.
Oh, yeah, babies. That's right. But babies maybe not necessarily count, because she can actually talk back and have a phenomenal talk. Is that right, Shay? Give me 5. That's for you.
Oh.
Don't give that to your daddy. That's you. Now, when I started working for Howard, I was a technician at Howard Service Company, and I was 17 years old. I had very long hair, which now looking back, I wish I had hair like that. It looked nice. Now I miss it. But I was, you know, much younger, and I thought I knew it all back then, right? I was going to school for electrical engineering, and I would have never imagined in my wildest dreams what God had planned for my life through Howard. And I am grateful every single day of my life for that. So, help me please give Howard a round of applause for teaching everybody else. I also heard that there's somebody else in the house who's young, and Amy, how old are you? 17. Well, who would have thought, right? Now, Amy, this is actually my favorite one of Howard's books. It's actually the smallest also. I know there's a correlation there, but there's actually so much into that one that if you just start there, little by little, before you know it, your wildest dreams can truly
I'm true. I already gave her that one.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Give her
FTI. FTI. Well, that's back there. I'll get it for you later, okay? All right, so you guys saw the video earlier, right? All these folks in there at that restaurant. I saw Benji on there. Like, how many people grew up here during the pandemic? I thought I was the only one. And I'm looking at Benji on there. Look at that thing on there. It's like, that's kind of thick. I don't know. Benji got married for his second time in his life about 2 or 3 years ago. He asked me to go to his wedding. I'm there. We're having dinner. I'm there with my wife, our kiddos. And he's speaking from the front. He's saying, and my best friend, Santi, I've known Benji now for, I mean, he was there 20 years. I've been here 20 years, so he must have started shortly before me. And it is pretty amazing. You guys heard it. Howard talked about it. This whole idea of this family feeling with your team. And I do have to ask another question. How many of you guys know Zig Ziglar? Now, keep your hands up. How many of you got to meet Zig? Okay, I had the amazing opportunity to meet Zig. And if only I knew then what I knew now about Zig, I probably would have just like sucked into him and just like give me more and tell me more and everything. But you know, it's crazy. What I will never forget is that after we were done in that little event in Dallas, we're doing a sales training, and Zig is talking to everybody, and I'm just thinking, I'm only there as part of the team to support everything going on. Zig stopped and said, he started asking me questions. And getting to know me, wanting to know more about me, and made this little, maybe 1-2 minute encounter all about me. How do you think I felt? I'm talking about it so many years after. There's many of these little things that if we can just start to think about what they do for a person, you've heard it before, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. And if you add the second part to it, it's care about them. So the question is, how are you showing that you care about your team? You know, Tom was up on stage, I don't know when that was, but Tom was talking about his relationship with his daughter, Alexandra. And I remember watching that. At that time, we did not have a daughter yet. And I remember thinking, man, I want that kind of relationship with my daughter. Like, they're tight, you know? They're like super tight. And then Alexandra's mom is up there sharing, because I think she had never shared anything like that, so I'm talking with her one-on-one, which was great. And she's telling me, I'm just asking her, hey, how is it that they have such a close relationship? And she starts telling me that they would go and have daddy-daughter breakfast. So they have this date. I think it was once a week. And then I'm listening to Tom talk about his daughter and saying that, you know what? How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. So now I'm going to ask you another question. How much time do you spend with your team members? If there's a measurement, a metric, like of a relationship, that's like hard, right? Like, hey, how much do you love your spouse? Ooh, like, how do I measure that? But I can measure how much time we spend together. I can measure the experiences that we have together. So then, okay, this is like all these amazing things that we get to learn and apply at events, and it's like, oh, this is so fantastic. And this is now going back several years ago. And Zig used to have this event that was a week long that was called the Born to Win. And it was actually a whole conference for a whole week. And they had singers and they had this whole long thing. Anybody ever watched that or seen that or listened to that? We got like 1, 2, 3 people. If you've never seen that, it comes in a case like this big. And it's got like a million CDs. I don't know if that's available on MP3. I'm sure it is somewhere. But here I was, at clean as a whistle. I was a technician that was actually had hurt my back, and I was working inside the office and just doing whatever I could do inside the office. So I started doing some dispatch. I started doing inside sales. I started doing a whole bunch of stuff inside the office. And then back in the back of the shop, we used to have this place where Howard just kept a bunch of stuff that he would buy. And many of these were things that he was actually selling through Phenomenal Products. And one of these was actually this Born to Win series. And I'm looking at that thing, and I remember Howard talking about Zig back then, and just all I thought was, that's a weird name. I'm being honest, like, who named somebody Santa Zig Ziglar, right? And I didn't know any different. I didn't know any better other than that's the name. This is a guy that Howard keeps talking about. So, okay, what the heck? Let's listen to this dude. What's he got to say? I borrowed that thing, and I start listening to it. And I say I borrowed because I don't know if I ever returned it. I just can't remember. And I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to Zig talk about goals. Now, how many people in this room were ever taught how to set goals in school? We got one, two, now, that are not homeschooled. That is awesome. So, this is one of those several things that I wish would be taught in school, goal setting, financial planning. You know, there's several parts that I think would be a crucial component to somebody that's being developed. And I was thinking about this, I'm listening to it, I'm driving, I'm hearing Z talk about these goals and I'm doing all this stuff. And honestly, don't do this, but this is what I was doing, is I have my phone, I'm trying to take notes while I'm driving, bad idea, but here's what happens. Then I come into the office, and I am, like, super excited. You ever come into the office, and you're just, like, you're about to explode? I'm literally walking in, like, oh, check this out, and I remember Benji was actually there, sitting towards the front on the right-hand side, and we're talking about all these goals, and we're doing like, hey, man, check this out. There's this guy named Zig. He's got a weird accent, and, like, he's talking about all these goals and these things that you got to do, and look, there's, like, a process, and I'll never forget it because I actually wrote down the steps wrong. I messed it up, and I'm teaching it to our team members wrong. And the first time that we're doing it, I am, like, just, like, seriously, like, super pumped up. And everybody is like, oh, my gosh, this is the most boring thing I've ever been in my life. You ever have a meeting with your team that you start, and then you got somebody like, oh. Or there's that. Like, how's that so loud? You know? It's just air coming out of your mouth, but it's like deafening. And their eyes are like turned so far back, they can see behind. You know, it's like, it was just that kind of thing. At first, it was like, nobody's getting this thing. I'm just like, I don't care, man. I'm going to come back here. I got you sitting in that room, so I'm going to keep going. And so we keep talking and talking and talking, and we did it again. The first time was terrible. Like, I can't tell you how bad it was. Until one of them said, hey, man, I started doing that, and guess what? It works. So then we went from, like, everybody's hating this to, hey, man, when are we doing it again? And then you have one guy buy the house for the first time in his whole life, and not just his life, but he was multi-generation that had lived in apartments, and for the first time, he's buying a house. Now, in that day when he bought that house, like, you should have seen the room was on fire. Everyone's like, celebrating and just excited, like, jumping up, and like, this is great. And I can name all the stuff that people started doing and accomplishing and getting and all these great things, but it took some time. It didn't happen right away. But here's the other part that also was happening every single time. They were changing. They were changing, and they were going from this to, hey, man, what's up? I see some options on how I can upsell more. Because you know that thing that I wanted to do? It's going to cost me a little bit more. And if I just get like $300 more, then I can probably buy that thing. And how do I get that, those extra $300? Then all of a sudden, conversation changes from, how many of you guys ever had somebody walk into your office? What is it, usually Friday afternoon? Hey, can I get a raise? Or hey, you got anything? Can I get more money? Now I'm going to ask you guys a totally different question. What if you had a team member come to you and say, hey, I have an idea. I think that if we can do this, this, and this, we could probably increase our sales by this much money. And if we do, I think there's going to be some profit in there. And if we increase the profits, will you share some of that with me? Who in this room would say no? You'd probably hug them, wouldn't you? But the question is, then why isn't a team member think like that? Guess what? Nobody taught them. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that, you know, they don't care. It's not any of that. Nobody spent the time, effort, energy, and just spending just quality time asking some questions about, number one, what do you want? And then number two, how are you going to get that? Everybody with me? So, throughout all this process, I'll never forget it because here's one thing that I got to say, and you guys tell me if you agree with me or not, okay? I think that probably one of the biggest frustrations in leadership is when you want something more for a team member than they do for themselves. Would you agree? Like you just want it for them. And like you could just want to like set it up, but you know that if you do it for them, that they will not appreciate it as much. So I went to this NLP, I asked Howard, can I go to this NLP training? It's going to be awesome. We're going to be learning how to, you know, flip a switch in people's minds without them knowing. Like, sounds really weird. Okay, Chief, go for it. Just hear that, right? Like, that was an exact conversation. But Howard said, yes, go ahead. So I go to this thing for 4 days. It was like a long time. Come to find out, you can't do this. It's like, why didn't you start that in the beginning? Like, why? We didn't have 4 days of this. But we needed to find something to get more, and I'm going to use the word, engagement. How many of you want more team member engagement? So who would like to define what engagement is? Throw it out.
Communication.
Communication? Okay, I'll say it out loud so you don't have to run. What is it?
Ownership.
Participation. Ownership. Okay, what else? Say that again.
Make them feel loved.
Caring.
Spreading culture.
Spreading the culture. What else?
Being excited about your goals.
So question, you want that out of them, right? How are you portraying that back? You just heard Howard say, hey, what are you looking for? And then how often do we take a minute to look in the mirror and realize, well, I'm not that, but that's what I want. So something's got to change, is that right? Now that's on one side. When we start thinking about engagement, we want people to do, you know, more things. And if I were to sit down with one of you one by one, we'd probably get down to just saying, hey, I want more results. I want more of them to do this more, right? Or this more, whatever it is, more. And so here's an interesting thing. Just over time, I've noticed kind of two patterns to get more engagement. You guys mind if we talk about them? Just two. That's it. I'm sure there's a million more, but I want to just go ahead and discuss these two. And if we just go ahead and get rolling with these two, then we'll go from there. So, hey, Christian, can you click on the PowerPoint? So, two paths, right? Now, I'm going to just go ahead and take care of the what ifs right away. How many of you have said something similar to this? Yeah, but if I spend all my time, effort, money, training them, blah, 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 and then what if they leave? And Zig would say this, the only thing worse than training employees and losing them is not to train them and keep them. So which one do you want? You want a super solid team member that might be here for 2 or 3 years and then they're all gone, moving on to something else? Or do you want a one team member that maybe doesn't want to be here but doesn't know any better and just stays here for the next 20 years? You know that whole 70% non-engaged team members? And just do the math, that's almost every single working American that's been working, and they don't like their job, and they don't change. They keep doing their same job, and they may still do it for another 20, 30 years. Will their leadership change? Maybe. Hopefully. And so here's the two things that I want to talk about. Christian, can you click it one more time? There we go. So one, personal growth, and then two, some sort of systematic approach to involve your team members in decision making. By the way, somebody asked me, what the heck is EOS, right? And there's actually a book called just that, What the Heck is EOS? And there's also this other long, convoluted answer that describes what EOS is, but I came up with my own, and that's it, number two. It's just a way to involve team members in decision making. So I have a question. How many of you want order takers? No one, right? And so in the training, in your leadership training with your team members, how often are we spending time helping them in the process of decision making? Let's be honest. We're training people to be order takers. And then when they don't follow an order well, you get upset. And then we're trying to coach them to follow orders better, but not necessarily to think for themselves. And how many of you in this room want to be, you know, turnkey in three or less? Because you might already be in those three, right? So when you're thinking about this, I'm going to go ahead and go through these two sides. And on one side, I'm going to cover several parts of what we would discover inside your personal growth. And then I want to also cover some things in that approach to getting people to make decisions. Is that cool? Say yes.
Yes.
That's like half of the people. Are we cool? Is that yes?
Yes.
All right. Perfect. It is after lunch. Howard said that he normally puts people that it's either going to get everybody fall asleep, so it doesn't really matter, or they got to be really good. Somebody through personal growth. But, so here we go back. What in the world is personal growth? So some sort of growing personally? Are we talking about getting somebody to be taller? I guess in a sense that is personal growth, right? It's not right. It's still correct. So here are some specific things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right there. I honestly think that there should be a curriculum that covers at least these things that is taught. So these things right there, I started thinking about it, and then most of the stuff is what we were doing with our team members automatically. So how many of you have been through this? That typically should be everybody in this room, because you took an assessment when you became a member. But if you haven't yet, then I highly recommend that you do. But here's the interesting thing. So this is just for everybody, just a quick little tidbit of this. I'm going to cover each, so it's all right. Yes, and don't take a picture of it. If you know the studies, they say if you take a picture, your brain is not going to remember it because it knows that it's saved by your phone. I know, there's that my geekiness coming out right there. Right? So jot it down as fast as possible, even if it's not legible, it's better. I know, right? I just like ruined it for some of y'all that took a bunch of pictures earlier. Gosh, man, why didn't you tell me that earlier? By the way, another little side note on that one. You know, like when you take pictures of food and post them on social media, your food will not taste as good when you eat it. Just saying, right? Like, there's studies. I do wonder who spends time thinking about these studies. Let's check it out. Let's see how that actually works, right? So, everybody got it? You good? Awesome. Okay, so DISC. You know, DISC has been one of these life-changing tools where I have seen marriages that were on their way out be restored. I have seen parent-child relationships that were it's pretty crummy, no way around it. And then all of a sudden, somebody learns DISC, and then they realize, hey, that person probably is not like me. And instead of me thinking, what's wrong with them, I can start asking, well, how can I change to connect better with the person in front of me? Everybody with me? Some of you guys saw Scotty yesterday. Scotty handles all the financials over there for all of Howard's companies, and he works out of the service company in Sugar. Now, back in the day when I was the marketing and sales director at Clean as a Whistle, I'm going in there and I go to talk to Scotty. This is in the morning. This is a true story because I want you guys to see this picture. I walk in there and I wanted to try out a $500 a month advertisement. So I walk in there and I say, hey, Scotty, we need $500 to try out this thing. What do you think he said? He didn't say that one, but that would have been like an awesome one, right? What's that? Not even why. He just said, it's not in the budget. It's not in the budget. And then all of a sudden, I felt a fire inside of me that's like somebody saying no to me that I did not understand, but all I wanted to, when he said it's not in the budget, I just heard like fighting words. And I didn't get it, but it's like, wait, what do you mean it's not in the budget? Can we just put it in the budget? Like, I mean, is this like written in stone somewhere? Because even those were broken, and they, you know, put them together again, right? Like, you can just write it in. It's digital, right? It's in QuickBooks. You can use that. Another 500. I know how to do it. I'm going to show you how. I did not say that. That would have really made him upset, right? That would have really made him mad. But what ended up happening that morning was not very nice. It wasn't. In fact, it became more of a shouting match between the two of us. And just imagine walking into the office in that day. Now, I have a question. Who is wrong? Both of us. We can play the blame game all day long, but at the end of the day, in all relationships, right? Just remember this. Howard says that all of business and all of life is about relationships. How do you split up the percentage of a relationship? Is it 50-50? What is it? 100%? Are you telling me you got to give 100% to the relationship of your team members? So I just want to ask you a serious question. Don't raise hands on this one. What percentage are you devoting? Now, I'm not saying you got to do 100% every single day with every single person, because there's not enough time in a day, is there? But you can at least learn how they communicate and change your style in order to connect with them better. Is that right? So what did this do? The first time I went through this, we were in Dallas. It's the same time that I met Zig. And all the whole thing, I remember Michelle was over there. And we took that assessment. We were sitting down on the tables when everybody was done. And we're just going through the assessment. And the first thing I got out of that was, I understand Scotty. Not like I'm a DI or like, oh man, I know D's, I's, S's, and C's. None of that. It was, I understand Scotty. Now I get it. He was not trying to be combative or be a jerk to me or anything like that, that I thought many times, like, this dude hates me. Not at all. In fact, Scott has probably one of the biggest hearts of anybody I know. You just don't get to see that, because he shows it in a very different way. And it's interesting, because now knowing how he operates, I use that because he sees things I don't see. Now, realizing that, had I gone a different approach, if I knew this back then, absolutely. To the point that I just got to share one thing and we got to move on, because I got a lot to share, not a lot of time. But Walter ran one of our departments, and this was our rug department, our second most profitable department back then. He had an idea that he wanted to invest some money and some equipment. Woo! So he comes to me and says, hey man, what do you think about this? I'm like, yeah, man, that's awesome. How much money do you think we can make if we do that? He said, well, we can probably cut the time in half, and we only need one person back there instead of two or three sometimes. So that's going to be awesome, okay? In my mind, that sounds great. But you can't walk into Scotty and say, hey, man, can we put in like over $100,000 on this thing? I asked him for $500, and he shut me down. You crazy, right? So I'm like, okay, what does he need? Data, facts, give him everything. He put together a book. It was like about this big, about half an inch. He put it on his desk and said, hey, when you get some time, just kind of read through it, tell me your thoughts. That's all he did. And that book stayed on his desk, and it moved in different parts of the desk throughout time. The only reason I know that Scotty was looking at it is because those, you know, the bottom right page started getting darker. You know, it was dirtier every time, because he would look at it, read through it, probably study something, and then go back. And Howard, I share this, he got the call from Scott saying, hey, I think we should invest some money in this. And Howard's like, is this Scott? Over $200,000 to invest? What? Scott? What the heck is going on? You know, like, this is kind of scary. Scott is asking to put more money on something. Well, the cool part is we did that, and then the hurricane hit, and then right after that, we had a record month using that same equipment. Pretty much paid for itself in 1 month. I don't think that would happen had it not been for DISC. Everybody with me? So, dreaming. Okay. So how do you dream? Look, I'll say one thing. We were sitting down. You guys saw Marianne on that screen. Marianne has an awesome book that talks about her life. And I highly recommend it. If you want to get to know Mary Ann, you should buy that book. Because I did not know about Mary Ann much until I read that book. And we're talking about dreaming with the team. I'm like, hey guys, you know, I think about dreaming. You know, what do you dream about? And everybody's like, flying. You know, okay, that's cool, but like, what else? Oh, winning the lottery. Okay, that's cool, but like, what would you do with the money? And then the why behind the why, and then the what behind the what, and so on, right? But then we got to Mary Ann, and I said, Mary Ann, what do you dream about? Guess what she said? I don't dream. I stopped dreaming a long time ago. You ever have somebody tell you that? I remember being there, and like, my heart was breaking for them. Just one of the nice people. Like, we go in there and we laugh. Like, we will laugh. She's one of the highest guys you can meet. And like, you just literally walk in there and you're laughing. You don't even know why you're laughing. You're just laughing. And so we worked through this thing. And at that point, she hadn't written a book or anything like that. And just dreaming can be very difficult. I remember going through the dream manager, which Ashton was about to go get certified, and going through that certification and putting down together the list of dreams, 100 dreams. Not a bucket list. Everybody knows a bucket list, right? Like, bucket list, super simple, and now get it done, right? But actually writing down 100 dreams is not easy. I think I got to 70-something. I was telling that to Ashton. I was like, I still haven't gotten to 100. Because what ends up happening is we start accomplishing some of those. You write them down. You work through it. So here's the thing. How many of you guys have a list of dreams? And if you haven't done that yet, remember, it all starts with the dream. This is why I said that's my favorite book of Howard that we give over there to Amy. It starts with the dream. Now, question is this. How many of you guys know the 7 steps to goal setting from Zig? 1, 2, 3. How many of you have a Ziglar plan? Okay, so we had 2 hands go up on the first question and like a whole bunch on the second question. Did you guys know that the 7 step goal setting process is on the front end of that Ziglar planner? That's a good point. Good point. Well, then now I should rephrase that. How many of you guys know the 7-step secret plan, goal setting process is in the secret planner? Wait a second. I should have like 100 set of hands on that one, right? Some of you guys are just not going to raise your hand or follow the secret. 1 or 2. But the question is this. Does goal setting work?
Yes.
Does goal setting really work?
No.
Unless you implement it, right? Okay, well, here's a couple of things, right? Because that's a kind of a trick question. I'll be honest. When in the process of goal setting, you do have to write down your goals, right? That's part of it. That's step one. You guys know, right, what the studies tell us, that just writing it down increases your likelihood of achieving it by 40%. Now, what brings it up from 40% to 80%? What is it? That's a good point, right? I like doing something. But what happens most of the time? Is it that we don't care about our goals? Priority, distraction, we kind of forget, right? We get busy in the day-to-day grind. What raises it from 40 to 80 is some sort of weekly accountability or reminder. This is why we love the pods. Is everybody in here in a pod? If you like your pot, say yes. Oh, yeah.
So I'm not bragging or anything, but I mean, there were lots of noises in the room, but like right behind me for some reason. Oh, hey, Thirsty Thursday. Hey,
I'll tell you what. When Rick first started running a pod, he had the Thursday morning pod. Remember the power pod?
Yeah, remember the power pod.
My goodness. I tell you what, I wanted to be in the pod. I heard so much things about that pod.
We didn't let people in that pod.
Yeah, it was
like, we're like, you want to be in the pod? You get to bring your A game.
You got to apply.
That's what this pod's all about. We had so much fun.
What made it that good? The people.
They were getting stuff done. They weren't coming saying, oh, I didn't do this meeting.
They were getting done. And here's an interesting thing that starts happening when you start accomplishing goals. Someone else watches you accomplish a goal and they're like, ooh, wait, man, this stuff can like, stuff is legit. Let's try it out. And then somebody else starts accomplishing it, another one, another one, another one. It starts kind of going like this, and all of a sudden it starts moving in the right direction. It's like the coolest thing in the world to just watch. Now, I'll be honest, this PowerPoint, as of yesterday morning, had 5 slides. And I talked to Howard at the end of the day, and Howard's like, gee, make sure you got more than 5 slides on that thing. So I actually changed the whole thing up last night, and I put some extra info in there for y'all, okay? So goal setting is crucial. But let's be honest, how many of you want to be vulnerable enough in front of your team, talking about goals, and possibly saying, hey man, I totally blew that off? Look at the hands that are actually going up right now.
5 years. Destin Dream Retreat, made the decision and happened by the
time. You guys know this quote by Jim Rohn? At the end of the day, you should play back the tapes of your performance. The results should either applaud you or prod you. When it comes down to you spending time with your team and actually focusing on their personal growth, what does that look like? I know we spend a lot of time on technical, and we have to, and we need to, and we're looking at procedures and policies for everything that we do at work, but how often do we think of those same procedures and policies when it comes down to personal growth? Most people don't. I'm not saying that you should, but I do want you to start thinking about what could that look like. Now, 15 Laws of Growth by John Maxwell is one of my favorite books by John. John's got like, I don't know, over 100 books. And honestly, some are like really, really good, and some are like, oh, Leslie, who wrote that? That was not John, right? And John would say himself that somebody once brought him one of his first books and they wanted him to sign it. He's like, oh my gosh, no. That book is terrible. How'd you get that? But one of the things that I wanted to do is put these questions up here. Now, there's going to be lots of those, so you can write them down. You can take the picture, or you can do the PDF, because I'm not expecting you to remember these. But it's about becoming self-aware. Now, I could ask every single one of you these questions. What is my biggest asset? What is my biggest liability? What is my highest time, my lowest low, my most worthwhile emotion, least worthwhile emotion, my best habit, worst habit, most fulfilling to me? What do I prize most highly? How many of you know that about yourself? And I'm talking in a room of highly aware business leaders. How many of you think that your team members know that? Or has anybody ever in their lives spent the time to ask them those questions? Everybody with me? There's that quote down there that I really like. The wise man questions himself, the fool questions others. So, how do we help our team members to start questioning about themselves? to improve and to grow. Because what ends up happening is all of a sudden the person starts developing into a different person. Not someone who you are going for the purpose of doing the work faster and easier and more efficient. No, you're helping the person in his or her personal life. Everybody with me? So, okay. I want to leave that on there. Everybody got it? Good, because we got to move on. You get the PDF, okay? Just remember that. But then this other book came around, Traction. Anybody read that book? Okay. If you haven't read that book, you should. But I'll tell you the truth. The first time I went through that book, I stopped about 40 minutes in, and I was doing audio at 2X. And I thought, man, here comes somebody else jacking our stuff. Just last night, we were talking about that, how like people just go in and take out stuff, and you know, somebody came up with an assessment. Like, it's like, dude, seriously? At least I had like three more spokes or something, man. But like, come on, like, like rename the stuff, but that's just wrong, right? So I go through the book Traction the first time around, and honestly, that's all what I said. It's like, man, somebody straight up copy pound stuff, so I'm just going to blow it off and let it go. And then somebody else said it again, another member, hey, man, you read the book. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, like, they're all jacking Howard stuff. It's messed up, right? It's like, no, like, seriously, read it. I'm like, okay, well, if you say I read it, then I read it. Just like I leave getting two books today, so got to go through those. So I go through it. I'm going from here to San Antonio. We got the Inner Circle members over there. I was doing a full day over there, and I'm listening to it. Get past the 40-minute mark, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I can't stop. I get there. I'm still listening. I'm like, whatever I was doing, I was just listening to it, and there's so many things about it that I just love. And then I started thinking about it. It's like, okay, well, this is like, one thing that if we could apply this, it would really make a difference to everything. And then I got to talk about Elise. Elise, if there was one thing that she would say was that coming to a conference was amazing and incredible, and there was always the question about at the end of it, it's like, okay, how do you grab all that stuff and like, and do this little thing, not layer cake it, right? Because that's over time. But how do you take all that stuff and like go and bust it out, right? And so what if you just implemented one or two things from an event? That's awesome, right? What if you implemented 10 or 20 or more? What if you sped up the whole process because it's not dependent on just you? And that's where your wisdom comes in. It's like, okay, if you got a leadership team, how effective are they? Because here's the thing. You got team members, right, that you know are rock stars, aren't they? Anybody in here got team members who are rock stars? So I want to talk about the ones that you know are probably not going to make it within the next couple of weeks. I'm talking about the ones that you know are rock stars. Are you helping them, you know, rev those engines? Do you think that sometimes they get bored? I don't know about you, but I get bored easy. Like, my schedule's not jam-packed. I'm like, ugh, what do we do now? So, there's eight things. I'm just going to talk about them real quick. Through EOS, you're going to get through these eight things. What are your values, your core values? Who wants to shout out their core values? Throw it out. Yeah, say it.
So ours is an acronym. It's a SMILE. We have a smiley face on everything. So S stands for superior knowledge and service. M stands for meaningful relationships. I stands for integrity in all things. L stands for leaving a legacy of fun. And E is an exceptional educational experience.
Woo! By the way, that was the most pitiful thing. Can we give her a round of applause? Yeah. 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 Okay. You know what's really cool? I've seen her team members do that exactly the same way, word for word, the whole thing. How many of your team members could recite your core values? For real, how many? We ended up changing one of our core values. We moved our guarantee as part of the marketing message, and we added the word growth because we knew that that's really part of who we are already. That's at our core. But here's the question. When you attract team members and they're like, you look at them and you're thinking, this people's going to be awesome. They're going to really work out. This is going to be great, right? Now, sometimes they don't because people are sometimes really good liars, right? And they come in and they act a certain way, and then about 3 months later, the other person shows up. So here's the question. What are the questions that you build in to test your values on them? Patrick Lencioni talks about this and how they ask those questions in just to test people out. Like integrity. Okay, how do you test integrity? Do you ask them, do you have integrity? What do I answer on now? Do you want me to say no? No, right? But serious question, how do you test integrity? Yeah? And what would be the first question about the integrity before we challenge that, right? Do you do what you say you do? Well, maybe, yes. So here's a simple one. Have you ever stolen anything? Huh? Anybody in this room ever not stolen something? See, all of you have integrity. Look at that. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It might keep your wallets, you know? But then somebody said, but that's not fair, right? Because you're trying to get a job and you're asking if they've ever stolen something. That's putting them in a hard position. So, okay, well, how many people in this room right now, raise your hand, be totally honest, have never told a lie? See how hard that was? Not hard, right? If someone's being completely open and honest with you, which we want them to do. Now, those are two that we just kind of think through very easily and quickly. But you may have different ones that are going to be different for you than for everybody else. Because at the end of the day, when team members don't last, most of the times it's not that they were jerks or, you know, all sorts of evil stuff. It's just that your values and their values were not a good match. Everybody with me? You agree? Say yes.
Yes.
So, what are your core values? Number one. Number two, what is your core focus, which is your mission and your purpose? What do we do and why? Now, I want to ask you guys a question. I want you to be totally honest, and I want to hear it. If somebody has a true answer, I want to hear it, okay? Why should I, Santiago, come work for you? Go for it. Say, Casey, out loud and proud.
Well, our company is a Matthew 25 company, and we try to serve people and use our God-given talents so we can one day hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So if you want to hear one day, good and faithful servant, well done, you can come work for us.
Man, that was awesome, wasn't it? Can you give a round of applause? Did anybody feel really good about that? How many times are you going to be somewhere walking around and your next team member may be walking down this hallway? Number one, are you actually going to take the time to talk to them? Which, if you guys have ever noticed, this is why one of the reasons why Howard has never had a problem finding people is because he's always talking to people, wherever they are, sometimes in the restroom, having a phenomenal talk. I don't know if that's weird or not, but it's kind of funny, though. But at the same time, it's for real. You know what's interesting? I almost took a picture of it because I do keep thinking about the Alan O'Neill thing. You know, 600 team members. That was in Texas alone, right? And they used to, like, go through all 600 more than once in a year. So you think he got problems with people? Imagine losing all 600 in that 1 year and having to replace all 600 and train all 600 and go through all this stuff over again, and some of them more than once, more than twice in the same year. Insane, right? It was at like five people just for finding people, training them, and then somebody to get rid of them, and then bring the other ones all over the place, and so on. So I'm at the gas station. I was close to Howard's house. We were going there to pick something up. What do I see when I parked at the gas station? Three plumbers and four landscape companies. What are they doing? They're talking, eating lunch. A taqueria or something inside, and it's like, that's it. They're just hanging out there. I'm just thinking, man, how many people who are plumbers are needing a plumber? And how often do they go in there and talk to these guys? They're just hanging out there, literally. What if you bought them lunch? All of a sudden, you got them eating out of your hands, and you got full attention. Remember what Howard said? It's marketing. And then Patrick yesterday said exactly the same thing. Everybody was there at 777. Remember, he's like, what is the only thing he wrote on that board? Hiring is marketing. But we try to overcomplicate it like crazy, right? So we think of it from a marketing perspective. How many people are we talking to? How many prospects are you talking to? How many of those are you closing? If your closing rate is not good, you keep doing the same thing over and over, hope for a different, you know, result. No, that's insanity. We do that for sales. Why don't we do that for attracting team members? You get the sale when you get the right team member. Everybody with me? Say yes.
Yes.
So, okay. We go through our mission, our purpose, and you guys heard what AC said about answering the question, why should I come work for you? Seriously, ask yourself that question. But now I want to take you to a whole different way. How many of you guys are maybe older, looking for somebody that's younger than you? Don't raise your hand on this one, okay? I just want you to start thinking about that. Now, if you are older, looking for somebody that's younger than you, I get that you may dog on the younger people just because they're younger and they like things different than you do. I get it. I catch myself doing that. I'm like, I just became that guy, you know? And so I try not to, right? But I guess it's part of what we do. Maybe it's a learned habit. But here's the question. If you were a younger you now, would you come work for you?
With or without the wisdom?
That's a good question. And so here's the question, right? You start thinking about that. What does it look like when they would walk into your office? What does it look like when they look at the website, look at your Facebook, look at all your stuff, blah, 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 all of it, right? And then they look at your message. What do you stand for? What are you going for, and why are you doing it? What's your mission? What is your purpose? Are you just there to fulfill a service, or are you doing it for something bigger and greater? So that when you're in front of God, God is telling you a good and faithful servant. Like that's really powerful. What that does is also detracts a lot of people that just don't care about that. Is there anything wrong with that? No. They're not a good fit. Everybody with me? Number three, what is your 10-year target? What's your BHAG? Anybody know what a BHAG is, what it stands for?
Big, hairy, audacious goals.
Big, hairy, audacious goals. That just sounds cool, doesn't it? They're saying BHAG sounds good. What's your BHAG? What is it? It's a funny AC, right? Because I remember AC talking about theirs and the 1,000 millionaires. $1 billion company. I don't know if it's still the same or not, but I Look, I remember it to this day. I remember being on the phone talking to AC many years ago, and he shared that. I was like, dude, that's awesome. How can we help those thousands be those millionaires in the process? Because that fit exactly with who we are. Everybody with me? So here's the question. When we have something big, not something little and like all this stuff, but something big, when we have something big, it makes everything else easier to talk about. Hey man, that little thing over there, you know, that little mistake, that little thing, that or the other, how does that help us get to the $10 million in sales or $100 million in sales? How does it help us get to that? It puts things into perspective, doesn't it? It's no longer the little things here that we get stuck in and the minutia and like all these little problems and things that we think about. Now we're thinking big. And guess what? Some of your team members maybe have never thought that big. Maybe they've never seen a number like what you're putting down on paper. And it's scary, and you're like, how in the world are we going to do that? I don't know. You think it's 10 years from now. But tell you what, if that's where we're going after, then the next question is this. What's the three-year picture? So question, how many of you remember where you were 10 years ago? I don't. I'm like, gosh, I'd like really have to think about it. We're in 2021, 2011, right? And what day is the 19th of May? I have no idea where I was 10 years ago. But I do remember this. One time Howard and I were talking about this. What can happen in a business in 5 years? Definitely. Well, that's interesting. Three, right? Turnkey and three. Anybody see that correlation right there? A three-year picture. You can change everything in the next 3 years. But you got to define it, don't you? What are we going after? How does that three-year picture help us to go towards that 10-year target? When your mind's eye can see something, it's more likely to happen. Let me ask you guys a question. How does anything, before it's created physically, where is it created? In the mind. So in a sense, everything, absolutely everything that you can imagine is created at least twice. First up here, and then here. Now I say at least twice because there may be somebody else helping you out with us, right? So it actually came from somebody else. But the question is this. Does your team member know where you're going? Anybody know? Hey, where are we going at in 3 years? I don't know, man. I just hope I have my job. Or, oh man, yeah, in 3 years, this is where we're going, and this is where I fit, and this is where I hope to be in the process with my own team running this crazy online side of the business that is like triple what everything else is on all the other locations. So, what's the three-year picture? How are we communicating? Because here's where the thing is. Most of us stop at the next one. Christian, I lost it. Can you go back to five?
The five?
Yeah.
My five.
Go back. There you go. Oh, let's skip one. All right, what's going to happen in the next 12 months? So if you have your 10-year and your 3-year, what's the next 12 months? What are the goals that you have to accomplish in the next 12 months? So let me ask you, if you're going to be turnkey in 3, what needs to happen in the next 12 months? This may be a little bit different for everybody in this room, but if you're really going to go after that, shouldn't you start thinking where you need to be in 12 months? And what are the big rocks that you need to accomplish in order to get there? And then we need to share that with the people that are going to be involved in it and have a question. Can you do that alone? Absolutely not. You can try. You can get really far. Everybody with me? So then why don't we break it down into the next 9 days? Here's what the research tells us. Research has found that humans can channel their energy on one goal for about 90 days before they start to lose focus. It happens. This is why when Zig would talk about goal setting, he would bring up that if you've never done goal setting, you better pick a short-term goal. You gotta accomplish those things. Everybody with me? And the more that you accomplish at first, the easier it starts to become later on. So what are your quarterly priorities? So, all right, everybody in this room, do you know what your top 4 projects are?
Yeah.
Okay, there should be more yeses to that. If there isn't a yes for everybody across the room, you need to get on your one-on-one and figure that out with your coach. Everybody with me? But here's my question. If you don't know what yours are, do you know what your team members are? Or are they just working? Does that make sense? Can we go to like a bigger, higher place? And when we think of bigger, higher places, guess what? The ones that want to come with you, they're going to buy into it. They're going to get all excited. They're going to be like, yeah, man, let's go. This is awesome. What do we need to do to go over there? Hey, what if I try this? Well, try it. If it doesn't work, too bad. Hey, man, I want to redo our logo and come up with this crazy idea of this new planner that's going to be just totally awesome and amazing. It's like, all right, hey, man, try it. And Christian's not even moving this way, and I'm talking about him. And he starts coming up with this thing that all of a sudden starts growing and becoming this new thing that is awesome. Everybody with me? When you show more, you're allowing space for people to grow into. You can't go there alone. You gotta bring people into those spaces. So, okay. How are we gonna get there? Well, we need a marketing strategy. I'm not gonna talk about this for lunch. You're gonna get a copy of it and so on, right? But here's the last one. What are your issues? What are your issues? So here's a big part, and I'll be honest, this is probably one of my favorite things about EOS. And it's the ability to completely eradicate issues to where they don't come up again. Not put duct tape on it and, you know, put twine around it or anything like that, but actually fix it so where it does not come up anymore. And it is crazy. There's always going to be issues. I'm not going to tell you there won't be. The cool part is the issues start changing as you change. And all the other things that used to be like, oh, gosh, what do we do about this, that, or the other? Oh, man, we got something already fixed for that. What do we do about these new ones? Ooh, I don't know. Let's work on that one. And we put it on the issues list, and we go through there. And once everything is before you in black and white, it's much easier to get into execution mode. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
What if you had every single team member working with all cylinders, pushing forward, rowing in the same direction towards your vision? What could happen? I like that answer. Anything. Or in other words, we could actually accomplish a vision. Everybody with me? But there's a process to it. This stuff doesn't happen overnight, and then sometimes you got team members that you thought were great, and then they turn out not to be great, and then you got leadership issues and people in your leadership team that all of a sudden, they gotta go. And you have to let some people go and move forward. But here's the beauty of it. When you work the system works. Everybody with me? Jake, you were awesome. Same. So I have a question. Which one of these two does your team need? Personal growth or a systematic approach to getting some good decisions and actually implementing? What do you guys think? And you guys are saying it right there. Some companies need both. Some companies need one versus the other one. Now, I try to fit it all into this one presentation, but I have a question. Will you do it all? No. So I have another question. How many of you would like to talk to me about what that can look like? We're passing out some pieces of paper right now. And if you're interested in knowing what that can look like, just put your name. What is it, Michelle? Name and what? Name and phone, is that right? Somebody tell me what it's on. Okay, your name, there you go.
We don't have a plan.
Just put your name on a piece of paper so that we know this is what came through. So that we know that you're interested in knowing what that can look like for you and your business. Everybody with me? All right, so here's the next question. Was this helpful?
Yes.
Did you get something out of this last hour and few minutes?
Yes.
Will you implement it?
Yes.
When?
Now,
you may not do it now, but I'm being honest right now. Some of you may be thinking that's a funny question, but no, I'm being serious. Like, when? If you're going to talk to your team members, when?
Right.
Monday? What time? After the pot on Monday. What time is that?
All of the changes are going to happen.
Thank you, Len. So, here's one thing that I love. It's a quote by Gary Keller that says, if it's not scheduled, it doesn't exist. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
You have a calendar? Can you pull it out? Right now. Like you said, you were going to do something, right? So don't let it be the thing that you're going to do all next week or tomorrow. Does tomorrow ever come? Or Monday, right? Or blah, 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 or whatever. Put it on the calendar. If somebody's coming to your mind right now, of a team member, you got to spend some time and work through whatever it is with them. Put it on the calendar. It may be that all you need to do then is, well, I really don't know what that next step should be. Just fill out this piece of paper and turn it in the back table when we go on break here in just a second. And we can talk about that and see, well, you know what? Maybe it's 777. I got to work on me as a better leader. Or maybe it's dream team training where you can just come on video and, you know, train my team on these things. Or maybe it's EOS where I come out to your place every quarter, spend a full day with you and your team working through these things. Everybody with me? But do something. Don't let it be that thing that stays in the back of your head and then a year from now, you're hearing other people talk about how awesome it was and you're saying, man, I wish I had. You could be that same person that says, I'm glad I did. Everybody with me? Was this helpful?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Santi. Okay, everybody stand up real quick. Everybody up. And thank you, Santi. Big round of applause.